Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. We're going to talk about pop culture coincidences. Right now, we want to welcome to the studio, and we also have another guest on the phone. What you just heard there was rehearsal audio of Great Moments in Vinyl, which is a group of musicians who get together and organized by Lindsey Cochran, and they do tributes to great bands and music and albums and stuff like that. And they're doing Led Zeppelin. I can't believe 50th anniversary of Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin II.
Does that not make you feel old?
Oh my God, it makes me feel very, very old. And it's amazing that those two albums came out the same year.
I know. Oh my gosh. In short order, you know, the second album they recorded while on tour.
I mean,
they were touring back and forth in America. I mean, talk about how times change. I think the first album came out, and my figures are not exact here, but let's say they toured America five times that year. I mean, what band does that in a single year?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a busy time, obviously, for Led Zeppelin.
And a very lucrative one, as well.
Yeah.
And other things as well.
Exactly. And there's a lot of stories behind Led Zeppelin, and that's what you guys get into, this kind of stuff. Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin II, Great Moments in Vinyl at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln, this Saturday. It's $15 to get in. And Lindsey, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. So much.
Tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl, as we do every time we have you in.
Well, as you said earlier, it's about great bands, great music, great albums. You know, I thought it would be great to just get together in a club with musicians who love to play this music for fans who love to hear it.
Yeah.
So we find an album that we know is very popular and takes people back and has meaning to people, like we just did Pearl Jam's 10.
Right.
I mean, that was a lot of fun. We got a Prince show coming up with Purple Rain. We did Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the Elton John album, back in December. We're going to get a chance to do that one again. This time out, I thought, you know, 50 years ago in 1969, that's when Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin II came out, or as I've been calling them, Led Zeppelin 1 and 2, not the true names of the albums, but we're going to put those albums on stage with Judith Weirich, the vocalist who sang the Physical Graffiti show with us. People are just blown away with her. She was my Janis Joplin when we did Pearl years ago.
And that was her that we just heard.
Yes, yes.
On How Many More Times.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as I like to say, you know, I mean, okay, Led Zeppelin was a guy's band, but if you have to find an audience of guys that mind watching Judith sing Robert Plant, you know, it's like...
Yeah. Well, it's hard to find a male vocalist who can do Robert Plant.
Especially.
It's very difficult, especially in that time period when Robert Plant still had incredible chops. Well, we always have you on, and now we have Scott Tipping on, who's been on the show before.
Yes.
And he's on over the phone. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely,
good to be here.
Absolutely. Give everybody a little background on yourself, Scott.
I'm 5'8". I'm a Chicago guitarist. I've been very fortunate to keep myself occupied with a ton of different local bands and touring bands and stuff like that, and super honored to do multiple shows with Great Moments in Vinyl.
What were some of your favorites that you've done with these guys?
Physical Graffiti.
Yeah.
That to me is the Zeppelin stuff really hits home for me. That's a lot of my upbringing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it when I was waiting for you guys to come on. I actually remember taking Communication Breakdown to my dad, who's a guitarist, and asking him, how does this work? Like, listening to the guitar solo, can you teach me this? So
yeah.
The Zeppelin stuff is my favorite. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road was awesome, too. Just seeing that pulled off was pretty great.
Yeah.
Everyone is special in its own way, but Zeppelin really hits home.
Yeah, I can understand. Zeppelin was a big part of my growing up as well.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but weren't you the guy, like, sitting in his bedroom working on that stuff way back when?
I was listening to it constantly, and it kind of seeped in through osmosis, you know, like, so I did sit down and learn it a lot, but I think a lot of it was just because it was always on that it just sort of became familiar to my language, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you guys are playing my favorite Zeppelin album, which is Zeppelin II.
Why is that?
Yeah.
The thing about Zeppelin II is that it kind of represents everything that they could do as a band, because it's a very, very varied album.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some blues songs on there, there's some folk songs on there, there's, you know...
Heavy stuff on there.
There's heavy stuff on there,
yeah.
And so And there's, I mean, there's a drum, there's a song with a drum solo on it, a studio song with a drum solo on it,
and
what my friend says about that, though, my friend, I have a friend who's not crazy about Moby Dick. He says it's because he's like, why would they even do that? It's so self-indulgent. And I'm like, well, because John Bonham was like the greatest drummer ever, so let him go. But my friend always says this, and I don't agree with him. I don't agree with this statement at all, but this is what he says. It's a waste of a perfectly good riff.
I've got a good story to go with Moby Dick, but you'll have to come to the show to hear it.
Oh, okay. All right. Very, very cool. All right. Cool.
Not radio worthy.
No. Well, yeah. There's not a lot about Zeppelin. Have you ever read Hammer of the Gods?
Oh,
yes.
My God. Yeah.
I was going to quote extensively from it later.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Please. Please do. But I mean, there's more of the stuff that these guys allegedly did. Hammer of the Gods is just one of the best sort of like shameless rock and roll books of all time.
I mean,
this isn't fair to bring this up, but during the Physical Graffiti show, there's a story I tell about one of the managers saying, what doesn't get talked about is the times they were on tour and it was boring.
Yeah.
There was nothing going on, you know? Like, they were worried about how their wives would see them in photos and how they look so worn out and things like that. You know, it wasn't crazy all the time.
Right. Well, that's the stories that become legend, you know, are the ones that involve seafood and hotel rooms and stuff like that.
I read that book. I'm sorry. I read that book when I was a teenager, and that was like a what?
Yeah. No, I read it. I think I was a teenager when I read it, too. I was like, I think when it came out, I was like 17 or 18 when I read it. When it All came right. out, but no, yeah, that was quite a read. So, how much of Led Zeppelin are you going to talk about, Lindsay, on stage?
Oh well, like it's a little tricky, obviously, because some of these songs segue together, so that kills a spot for me to chat. But I try to tell a story about, you know, what was going on for the band with the first album, or what Plant was thinking when he wrote this song, or you know, what Moby Dick, where that title came from, according to the books, it's not what you might think.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny because like you mentioned that some songs segue. I remember I was at Rolling Stones Records at Harlem and Irving. Have you ever? You guys ever been up there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go there all the time when they had vinyl and stuff like that and CD. And we were in there shopping one day, and Heartbreaker was playing they were playing Heartbreaker, and it didn't segue into Live and Love and Made. And I went, whoa! So
how
I
was
actually
that?
Went, I, but they had it on shuffle. So I actually went.
Oh, it was a CD. Okay,
I went up to the counter and I'm like, you can't play Heartbreaker without playing Live and Love and Made. You know, and I've never heard that on even on FM rock stations. They play both of them. They play them back to back because you have to. You have to. If I don't hear the opening note, if I don't hear him start singing "Live in Love and Made" immediately when Heartbreaker is over, I'm like, what's going on in the world?
Well, apparently Page doesn't like that song. So when they've done Heartbreaker in concert, they don't go into "Live in Love and Made." From what I've heard,
is that right?
That's what the research shows.
Okay. All right.
Well, you have just a bone to pick with Jimmy. Good.
It just doesn't work on the studio. Like when you grow up listening to Zeppelin too, and you know like every note of every single song.
I know.
If you don't hear "Live in Love and Made" begin, you go, "What's happening?"
That was the agony of us early adopters of iTunes.
Yeah,
you get those songs. You're supposed to say like the "Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley" Robert Palmer medley. You know, suddenly it's like you had to buy three songs,
right?
And you had a gap between them.
Like, right. Those are the good old days when you had to actually listen to albums.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's what Great Moments in Vinyl is about. Because when we play an album, we play all of it. We play even the tracks you sat through and dealt with. We need to get to
when
your
you
favorite.
Guys did the White Album. You did Revolution Number 9. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
we
that's
did.
That.
We found a way to do it.
Yeah. So who's in the band this time?
Well, Scott, obviously on guitar. Got Judith Weirich singing. Let me see. Alton Smith, who's worked with us before.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some Led Zeppelin shows with us. He was my Elton John many years ago. He's done all sorts of great stuff. But anyway, he's our utility infielder, I guess, to speak the WGN sports language.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's playing keyboards on this. So that means piano. That means organ. He's singing harmony vocals. I think he's going to pick up a guitar. When we do Ramble On, we need someone to do the acoustic rhythm guitar. And how am I blanking out on this? Whole Lot of Love.
Mm-hmm.
He has a special guest vocal appearance.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. So that's him. He does that.
He does the pre-echo.
Yeah, he does the pre,
as we call it.
Well, that's cool. So that's it. That's the whole band.
Oh, and then Jonathan Reed on drums, who's played with us before. He's a monster. Yeah. I mean, he was in the Pearl Jam show, the Paul Simon show, the past Zeppelin shows.
How'd the Pearl Jam show go?
Oh. Pearl Jam is, Scott will agree, I mean, that's tough music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. As someone, I don't know who said it in the band, but it's not music you can just jam through. You know, you just can't fudge it. You know, like if you're a guitarist, you know how you go from the A chord to the D chord. There are certain ways you can get from one to the other. Can't do that with Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You have to just go right there or play what they played. I mean, it's idiosyncratic, like, say, Pete Townsend music with The Who. You know, there are very specific notes you have to be fingering on that guitar. You just can't hit a chord.
Yeah.
So the show went well, but oh my gosh, a lot of sweat went into putting that one together.
Yeah, yeah. So Scott, were you in that one?
Yes, I was, and he's absolutely right. There is, you know, I know a lot of that music well, but haven't played it before.
Yeah.
So when I saw the set list, I was like, yeah, no problem. And then when I sat down to learn it, it's like it's a bar of what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute,
Scott, hang on, okay.
Okay.
All right, Scott Tipping is with us. He's playing guitar. Lindsey Cochran is with us in studio. And Great Moments in Vinyl will pay tribute to the 50th anniversary of Zeppelin and Zeppelin II at Martyrs this Saturday night. Lindsey, hang on. We're going to come back. When we come back, you've got a couple of Zeppelin stories, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Lindsey Cochran from Great Moments in Vinyl here in studio, and we'll be back to talk more after this on 720 WGN. Great Moments in Vinyl playing Led Zeppelin, and they will be at Martyrs this Saturday night. Showtime is at 9 o'clock. It's $15 to get in. Martyrs is on Lincoln Avenue, 3855 North Lincoln in Chicago, and they will be Great Moments in Vinyl will be playing Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin II. In studio with me is Lindsey Cochran, who plays the bass and tells the story, stories and organizes the musicians. And on the phone with us is Scott Tipping, who will be playing guitar evening. Scott, is Paige one of your favorite guitarists of all time?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a time period, it was strange, because Paige in the 70s, late 60s, Yardbirds and all that, and 70s, you know, was just this heroic guitar figure. And then growing up in like the 80s and 90s, a lot of guitarists started to bag him because of his sloppier leads and stuff. And I was insulted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was beyond a soloist. The thing about Jimmy Page to me, outside of his outstanding playing and innovative playing, was he was a composer. And if you listen to the guitar arrangements and the overdubs and stuff, yeah. I mean, nobody can touch him.
He produced the records, too. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he was a master in the studio as well, and one of the greatest guitarists that ever lived. There's no question about it.
Now, no question.
I was lucky enough to have seen Zeppelin. I saw him twice.
Wow.
I saw him in 75, and
we are not worthy.
Get Pettengale in here, and let's talk about Woodstock.
Oh, that's true.
I saw them in 75, and they were amazing. In 77, they were terrible. They were loaded when they came out on stage.
75, that would have been the Physical Graffiti tour?
Yeah, Physical Graffiti tour, 75, Presence was 77. Yeah. And so the 75 tour was unbelievable. It was incredible. They played almost 3 hours Chicago Stadium. They always played the stadium. They always played at least 4 nights at the Chicago Stadium. And then they came back in 1977. We went again. It was terrible. Paige did most of the show from a folding chair because he was so loaded. The only sober person on that stage was John Paul Jones.
Right.
He was the only sober person on the stage. Plant came out, and like a lot of you guys know, Plant had this sort of tradition of coming out with a bottle of Jack. He'd break the seal on the bottle and start drinking it throughout the show. That night in 77, he came out, the bottle was almost 3/4 of the way empty already. And that was at the top of the show. So it was a disaster. That's the thing about that band, that was a live band. They were kind of notorious. You never knew what you were going to get. Were you going to get loaded bad Zeppelin or sober great Zeppelin?
Well, I guess Presence was made with Plant in a wheelchair, right? I think he had had a car accident or something like that. So he was not in fine form for the making of that album. And as I tell on the Physical Graffiti show, I mean, there was a falling out among the band members when Robert Plant's son, Carrick, had died.
Yeah.
And the story goes that only Bonham came to the funeral.
Yeah.
Peter Grant did not come. The manager did not come. Jimmy didn't come. John Paul Jones didn't attend. And Plant felt that as just a slight.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, here I'm mourning the loss of my son, and you guys are not supporting me. Yeah. And from that time going forward, Robert Plant was just like, you know, I'll be in this band if I want to be in this band.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way the band ended, you know, obviously with Bonham's death is very, very tragic. A lot of tragedy hit that band. There was a lot of tragedy involved in the history of the band.
Yeah.
And
they had such a great start. You know, they were like bulletproof at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I think life finally caught up with them. You know,
yeah.
they thought they were, what's the
Invincible.
Word?
Invincible.
Invincible.
Yeah.
And life proved they weren't.
Yeah. Well, great band, and what they've left,
absolutely.
You know, what they have contributed to music is insane.
I mean, you know, as people say, the Beatles were to the 60s, Zeppelin was to the 70s.
Question,
you know,
no question.
They set the tone, they set the direction, they set
yeah.
a lot of attitudes.
So what kind of stuff are you going to be talking about at
Here's
the show
a great
on
story.
Saturday?
Here's yeah. a new one I ran across online. Former Yardbird brings new group here. That's the headline of a 1969 press release announcing the imminent appearance of Jimmy Page's new band in Boston with a sound they described as contemporary blues, quote, raw and basic, something everyone can relate to. Mm-hmm. And so the newly christened Led Zeppelin was coming to America. And according to John Paul Jones, that January 69 date at the Boston Tea Party, as it was known, was a moment of realization for the band. Jonesy told NME in an interview years later, as far as I'm concerned, the key Zeppelin gig, the one that put everything into focus, was one that we played on our first American tour at the Boston Tea Party. We'd played our usual one-hour set using all the material for the first album and Page's white summer guitar piece, that instrumental he did with the Yardbirds. And by the end, the audience just wouldn't let us off stage. It was in such a state that in the band, we had to start throwing our ideas around, just thinking of songs that we might all know or that some of us knew part of and work it out from there. So we'd go back on and play things like I Saw Her Standing There and Please, Please Me, old Beatles favorites. I mean, just anything that would come into our heads. And the response was amazing. There were kids actually bashing their heads against the stage. I'd never seen that at a gig before or since. And when we finally left the stage, we'd played for 4+ hours.
Wow. Wow.
You want the kicker? Steven Tyler of Aerosmith was at this show, and he said that he cried during Dazed and Confused because he couldn't believe how heavy it was. And he also said it was one of the only two shows he's ever attended where he sat with his mouth open the entire time.
A very young Steven Tyler at that point.
Well, you've seen his mouth, so that's quite a...
Wow, that's a great story. That's a great story.
And I tell stories like that between the songs just to illuminate what was going on for the band.
Now, in your research, is it true that Keith Moon gave them the idea for the name of the band?
That's disputed.
Is that disputed, yeah?
Well, I mean, the story is that both Moon and Entwistle were involved, but who actually came up with the idea and who actually said it, that's in dispute.
Because they said it, I've heard this rumor for, you know, years, that they were at a party or something.
Page was excited about this new band.
Right.
He was describing it to these members of The Who, and their reaction was, from one of them, that'll go over like a lead balloon, like a Led Zeppelin.
And then that's where the name came from, or at least that's what the...
And the spelling was lead, like the element lead.
Mm-hmm.
But Page said to himself, those are Americans. They'd think it's Lead Zeppelin.
Right.
I mean, we are the people that call it Dire Maker, after all.
That's true. Very, very true. Scott, what were some of the most challenging songs for you to learn for the gig?
Oh, for this one, Black Mountainside, which is, you know, based off that Burt Jantz Black Water side, that's in a weird tuning, or not the weirdest, but it's in Dad Gag, and it has a couple little things that, again, it's like he makes it sound really easy. It's not at all. There's also like there's some breaks in like How Many More Times, where it's like, you know, traditionally things will break on the one and the whole band is breaking on the four, and,
exactly. Zeppelin has done that throughout their career. I mean, if you look at if you look at Rock and Roll, the song Rock and Roll, that's the weirdest. I mean, you know, the weirdest breaks I've ever heard in a song.
Well, you know, by the way, where that came from, and I don't know if it's a tape thing or whatever, but if you dig that intro, you really should go back to Little Richard's Keep a Knockin'.
Oh, sure.
Right? That's where Bonham got it from. It's the end of three. I think that's Earl Palmer playing, or I can't remember, but I mean, you're right. That's one of those songs that everybody tried to learn in their parents' garage and then thought, what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
It is very, 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 very hard.
A lot of tricky songs. Yeah. Take a listen to A Day in the Life sometime.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, we were talking, my favorite Zeppelin album is Zeppelin II. My favorite song on that album is What Is and What Should Never Be, which is one of my all-time favorite Zeppelin songs.
That's
my favorite Zeppelin song of all time, though, was On Graffiti. And it's 10 years gone. That's my favorite Zeppelin song of all time. But man, what is and what should never be is right up there. I adore that song. Is that a fun one to play?
Did I tell you the story with that one?
Yes.
I'm gonna cut you off, Scott. Go ahead and talk.
No, it's incredibly fun to play.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have much more to add to that, but I agree with you. I feel like I love the first record, but I feel like sort of like what you're saying is that the second record, everything just started to come into place, especially with the songwriting. It wasn't, you know, there was less of the knockoff blues stuff.
What
should it never be? There's some kind of different changes and stuff in there that's really neat.
Well, you know, I mean, that's where Robert Plant first started writing songs, too. I mean, that album were two songs that he'd written lyrics to, Thank You being one of them.
Another great song.
And What Is and What Should Never Be, a song. Well, at that time, Robert Plant, it was a woman he really had the hots for and wanted to marry, and she said no, and he kept pursuing her, and she kept saying no. So he married another woman, settled down with her, and as time went on, he kept thinking about that first woman and how he still had the hots for her, and I want to get together with you, and babe, let's do it. And so he did.
Yeah.
Well, at least he considered it. It was his wife's younger sister.
Right.
What is and what should never be.
Exactly. Wow. But it is such a fantastic song. And man, Zeppelin II is good.
Yes.
It's just a great record.
Yeah.
So is the first one. The first one is obviously fantastic. Recorded in notoriously in 8 hours or something
For $30,000 $12,000 I think in today's money is what
incredible.
36 hours I think was the time.
Insane. Insane.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Listen, hey, Scott, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Have fun on Saturday,
thanks,
all right?
All right.
All right, there's
you.
Scott Tipping. And Lindsay, always great to have
thank
you.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime you guys have a gig, what's coming up? You said Prince?
Oh, man.
Prince is coming up?
I got a stack of papers. There's a Prince show. That's the next one. We're doing that at the Edgewater Artists in Motion at 1101 West Granville. That's the Friday, first Friday of June.
Okay.
Then coming after that, what are we up to? The end of June, we're playing at 210 Live. We just did Physical Graffiti. They loved us so much doing Zeppelin. They want us back doing our Elton John Goodbye Yellow Brick Road show.
Oh, great.
That's 210 Live. That's the end of the month of June. 13th of July, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be out at Joliet, the Joliet Area Historical Museum, doing Hot Rocks.
Wow.
They loved us when we did the Rolling Stones out there. So we're going to be doing one of the rooftop concerts. It's great playing this music outdoors. And then at the end of July, toward the end of the month, MeTVFM, where I work these days, is having us play a Woodstock tribute.
Oh, that's great.
They're bringing in a Woodstock photographer, Baron Wolman, who used to work with Rolling Stone magazine. He shot Woodstock for the magazine back in the day. So we're going to be doing tunes from Woodstock. And a longtime guitarist I work with, Richard Pettengill, whom you mentioned earlier, was at Woodstock, wrote a book about it. He'll be a part of the storytelling.
When's his book come out?
He's still working on, because he's going to write a follow-up about going to the event, if it actually takes place this year. And that'll be the epilogue.
Okay. So. All right. Very, very cool. Well, you're busy, man. You're keeping busy.
Oh, my Lord, am I busy.
Yeah, very, very cool. It's always great to have you on.